hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely fantastic day today. Lots of stuff going down here in Florida. Dad and I have some more information that we've been trying to figure out what's going on as far as over in New Zealand. Very strange stuff, as you know, you've already seen the New Zealand government clamp down on anybody that's trying to share the video. Now, I saw a video yesterday from the New Zealand Parliament, opening with a full-blown Islamic prayer in Arabic during the special seating of the New Zealand Parliament days after the shooting, now essentially to show that they are in support of Islam and they have no problem capitulating to it. At the same time, now we have Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has announced in Michigan that they are planning to create a hate crime unit in order to track Michigan residents who disagree with the official government ideology or produce any type of xenophobia towards Islamic individuals. They said the group's purpose will not be solely just to prosecute hate crimes, but also to create a database of people who do not submit to essentially the ideology that they want to maintain in Michigan. So, very weird stuff, Dad. I know you have some other stuff that you saw this morning as well. What else did you find?
Well, the crazy thing, Austin, is it's like every other false flag. They start, like I talked about yesterday, you know, they seize all the videotapes of 9/11 as far as the plane hitting the Pentagon, which it wasn't a plane, but they just start seizing this information because they can't fill in the holes. And like I said, it's almost a joke. It's like the director or the producer of these little vignettes, or whatever you want to call them, they don't think through what they're going to look like. I mean, they should be done in advance. They should get extensive editing. I mean, they should have somebody else come in and check it to make sure they don't have these giant holes in it. But I just got this from one of my listeners in Australia, and it's regarding the New Zealand shooting. And it says, the internet service providers in Australia have blocked the platforms, including 4chan, 8chan, and LiveLeak. The sites were found hosting footage of the New Zealand mosque shootings that killed 50 people last week. Turkey's president has ignited diplomatic tensions with New Zealand and Australia after he blamed the Christchurch mosque shootings on anti-Turkish sentiment, referencing World War I's Gipolti's campaign. I mean, also many Australians that have traveled to Turkey with anti-Muslim sentiments will be sent back in coffins like their grandfathers. I mean, unbelievable. This is designed to foster fear and Muslim supremacy, take guns of New Zealanders, promote worldwide gun disarmament, attack Trump, and promote balkanization. And he says at the end of the text he sends me, email he sent me, he says, I've seen more gory scenes in films, but the politicians in these two countries are making out like they are Muslim, especially to the left. I mean, what's happening here is we've got a group of people who, again, are using this all over the world for exactly what we talked about earlier this week. Here's another one. This is Forbidden Knowledge TV. This is posted on the Health Master's website. It says, expert analysis on hoax, false flag. It says, Zero Hedge is reporting that New Zealand authorities, listen to this, guys, issued a chilling warning to citizens that they face up to 10 years in prison for knowingly possessing a copy of the New Zealand mosque shooting video and up to 14 years in prison for sharing it. Corporations such as Webhost face an additional $200,000 in Australian money, $137,000 U.S. fine under the same law. I mean, what the heck? What do they not want us to see? But again, this article says former Operation Psychological Officer and State Department Counter Protector Contractor Scott Bennett has thoroughly examined the 17-minute video of the solar frame shooter frame by frame. And after applying deductive reasoning and the forensic analysis, he's convinced the New Zealand mosque shooting was a false flag. Basically, here he says, no evidence of bullets impacting surfaces, no blood splatter, which means either blanks or paint or gas or other non-solid projectiles were fired from the guns. This means essentially nothing solid impacted the victims' bodies. Therefore, no physical damage resulted, which means no living person was lethally wounded or killed by offside force. This is what this guy is saying. He used to work for the State Department. He also goes on to say, the victims' physical reactions are being shot are not realistic. People being shot at close range react with animalistic panic, whereas the shooting victims of the video fold up and fall to the ground like a sack of sand and lie motionless, which that doesn't happen when your body's traumatized and you're not dead. You're twitching and jerking all over the place. As the shooter is driving down the street several times, he presses his shotgun muzzle against the windshield of his car and fires. But the windshield is not damaged or broken or penetrated by any bullet. Instead, smoky cloud bursts against the window and temporarily fills the cab of the car. The music appears to be scripted and deliberate and resembles some type of hokey Pulp Fiction-type soundtrack as the perpetrator comments on the shooting drills and challenges to his live stream audience. The shooter's manifesto appears to have been written by a leftist inarticulately trying to channel or inhibit the language, the ideas of conservatives, albeit deceptively. Because Bennett, who worked in advertising prior to working in psychological operations, applied the standard metrics of advertising campaigns to the New Zealand shooting to determine the ultimate goal of the campaign. It is his opinion that the event was staged to brand right-wing conservative Republican Christians as violent extremists threatening civilized societies. An end goal will be to cause the DOG and all law enforcement agencies to elevate white, right-wing, conservative Republican Christians to the top list of domestic threats and terrorist lists, and expanded budgets, more powers, less limitations, and more license to control and abuse the white civilian population. Guys, you know, I talk about this on the show so many times, Austin, and so do you, about how it's an all-out war against white people. I mean, they really hate white people. You know, it's just frustrating to me. I mean, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Look, guys, number one, get a life. Number two, if I was black, I'd be so proud I was black. I'd be the Colin Powell of the black population. That's who I would be. I would elevate myself and use him as a mentor. If I was Hispanic, you know, I would find some Hispanic hero that I would elevate myself to, and I'd work towards that. I'd be proud I was Hispanic. It doesn't matter how you were born. We're all the same in God's eyes. We're all human beings. Different people have different genetic characteristics, different traits based on ancestry DNA, different traits based upon IQ scores, different traits based upon mental acuity, all this different stuff. And a lot of that's all determined by genetics and food for the infant when the infant was being formed, and lack of immunizations, lack of fluoride, lack of poisons, lack of GMO, lack of glyphosate in your food supply as you're being raised. But guys, think through this for a second. Why is this an all-out shot against white people? Why do they hate whites so much? Why are they now targeting whites, according to this author about this analysis that he did, concerning, you know, who and what we believe? I mean, again, you have to look at it. It is the whites who came to the United States with the Mayflower in the very beginning, with the Pilgrims, for freedom of religious expression, to be Christians and worship God the way they wanted to worship God. They're the ones that used the Bible, the Torah, the New Testament, as a template for their laws, including the Constitution of the United States, and they wanted to come and form a Christian society in which they wouldn't be bound by the laws of England, the laws of the Church of England, the laws of the Roman Catholic Church, and worship freely. That's why they came to the United States, with primarily freedom of religion. That's not taught anymore, but that's what we were taught, you know, 45, 50 years ago in school. That's not taught anymore. But the people who did all that and came over and had all those things and all those dreams, they were white people, should I dare say. Now, I'm not saying there weren't a few blacks and Hispanics in the mix with all the rest of them, including, you know, Christopher Columbus, who was Italian, and a lot of other people. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, it was primarily the Protestant group of people that came over here who wanted to serve God and find a better place to live. Hence, the atavistic hatred towards whites, the atavistic hatred towards Christianity, because the whites have basically done everything they could to go out and evangelize the world for Christianity. That was primarily the white people. And they've gone to Africa, they've gone to the Middle East, they've gone into China, they've gone into South America. People say, well, they ruined the culture of South America. They came over and they changed it. Guys, they were conducting human sacrifices on altars when they got here. They were worshiping Quetzalcoatl. They were killing their people by the tens of thousands, driving some areas into extinction to serve Lucifer. And so, yeah, we came over here and we changed all that. So, yeah, how about that? Too bad, right? Same thing with the Indians. Indians were doing all kinds of crazy stuff, including all kinds of crazy rituals, all kinds of weird stuff. You say, well, that was their culture. Okay, I got it. Well, you start killing other people for your culture and doing weird things. Maybe somebody needs to give somebody a wake-up pill, a checkup, like my buddy Zig Ziglar used to say, a checkup from the neck up. Maybe this isn't okay. So I don't know. This whole thing with New Zealand, all of it reeks to me, Austin. What do you think, and what's your next story?
Well, there's no question about it. There's a huge bias with it. And like I said, whether or not there was a legitimate shooting in the first mosque, I don't know. I know the second one, there's been multiple videos, like you said, we've seen that, you know, it was pretty much staged. The first one, though, I mean, there were numerous reloads in the scene where you can see that there's live ammunition loaded. You know, blank cartridges have a very distinct look. They also have a very distinct sound. They're very muffled. So I don't know. Like I said, the first video seemed pretty genuine, but whether or not it was, it's being used as a false flag narrative to essentially demonize anybody that even questions the narrative when it comes to Muslims or Christianity or anything. It's ironic that there have been, I pulled up earlier today, according to the religionofpeace.com, there have been 453 Islamic terror attacks in 31 different countries so far this year in 2019. In total in 2019, there have been a shocking estimated 1,956 people murdered by Islamic terrorists and another 2,019 severely injured. That's according to the Religion of Peace. .com. Now, whether or not those numbers are 100% accurate, I don't know. They sound pretty accurate because I've looked up some of this stuff over the last day or two, and I mean, it's especially over in Africa. I mean, it's nonstop. Beheadings, crucifixions, murder. I mean, currently, right now, 2019, I mean, beheading people with machetes. I mean, by the dozens. This is what this religion of peace supposedly promotes when it goes to this level. And so when you start seeing that every single white individual that's a Christian in the entire world now is being demonized for the actions allegedly of one person in New Zealand, that's wrong. Just like it would be wrong for us to say, hey, anybody that is even possibly remotely Muslim whatsoever that even believes anything in Islam is directly tied into African Islamic jihadist terrorists and they want to go behead people. That's a really, really broad assumption to start making. So this is what drives me up the wall with this, is they generalize and categorize one group of people all across the board when one thing happens. It's the same thing we've seen in the United States when there's some type of gun violence. We saw it after the Las Vegas shooting. It was like anybody that's a white male that likes firearms, you automatically need to be branded as a right-wing terrorist that wants to go shoot up Las Vegas. I mean, we saw it. We all personally saw it. Our listeners saw it. We were on the show. I went to Vegas 3 weeks after the shooting for SEMA 2017. I personally talked to people all over the city who had completely different stories about the situation, most of them saying nothing added up about the story. A lot of them said this. Nothing made sense about it whatsoever. The narrative did not make any sense at all. Did people die? That's what I heard. I heard some people died, but I also heard the body count and the casualty count was nowhere near what they estimated to be. We saw the body cam footage year after the SWAT team raided the room. We didn't see any windows broken out. We didn't see any brass on the floor. All this stuff is really, really strange, and it happens over and over and over again, but you have to look at what the main narrative is, the main focus and the main goal every single time we see one of these incidences. It's not, man, we really need to come together as a country. We really need to try to help one another. If somebody's having a problem with anger or hate, we really need to reach out to them. And we need to try to bring the enjoyment and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we need to spread the gospel to them. You don't hear that. All we hear about is we demonize everybody that could have possibly been culped into this one group, but then we turn around and see what they're doing in Michigan now, and they're bringing the Michigan Attorney General in to start creating a hate crime unit in Michigan now to essentially anybody that talks bad about Muslims, about anything that doesn't go along with the mainstream narrative, they're going to be contacted by the hate crime unit, and we'll have the ability to be arresting individuals on this and building a database of people. So this is something that's very, very, very strange. Also, too, in other news, I thought this was a very strong article. It's pretty open. It gives both sides of it, and it also gives the propaganda for the vaccine companies as well. But this is a story that not a lot of people have heard of. Almost 50 students at Harvard Westlake School have been recently diagnosed with whooping cough. This is a very high-end school in Studio City, California. But all of the 6 students have been vaccinated against the disease, according to school officials. In fact, all 90 people who have recently come down with pertussis in Los Angeles County this month have been immunized against it, according to county officials. Now, here's the propaganda punchline in the article here. It turns out, though, that 4 years after someone receives the booster shot in seventh grade, the vaccine protection nearly vanishes, endangering high schoolers such as those at Harvard Westlake, says Dr. James Cherry. The outbreak is a real-life example of something that experts have been noticing since 1997. Immunity wanes quickly. People now in high school are one of the first generations to receive only the new short-lived form of the vaccination. And then it goes on to say how we need to look at the vaccinations, we need to discuss more vaccinations, and we need to discuss stronger vaccinations that are going to increase immunity and not allow it to wane so quickly. Now, here's the part that really is going to wake you up. They admit this right here. This is in the Los Angeles Times, verbatim. I'm going to read it right out of it. The 46 students that have been diagnosed with pertussis at Harvard Westlake were enrolled in about 1,600 students. The 46 students that were diagnosed, as I mentioned earlier, were fully vaccinated and fully compliant. 18 students at the school have not been vaccinated against pertussis, and none of them caught the illness. Another 10 students down the road at St. Anastasia Catholic School in Westchester also caught pertussis this month. All 10 of those students have been vaccinated. The other groups in that school that have not been vaccinated for pertussis did not catch the illness. Goes on to say here, if vaccination, then here's the propaganda starts back up again. This is from Dorian, a doctor, Armored Dorian. If vaccination rates were higher, pertussis would not be able to enter the community in the first place. So it's possible that the recent outbreaks originated with someone who had not been immunized, even though the disease is now spreading among people who have been vaccinated. They literally cannot figure out a way to convince the population anymore. So they're using the narrative now that the unvaccinated children that didn't catch pertussis were the ones that gave it to the kids that already had the pertussis vaccination, but because they hadn't received enough of the pertussis vaccination and the immunity waned off quickly, they were able to catch pertussis because the kids that weren't immunized gave it to them, even though the kids that weren't immunized had no symptoms and have not caught pertussis whatsoever in any case at any school in California now. This is how far-fetched they're willing to go to push the mainstream narrative lies and demand that everybody be mandatorily vaccinated by now saying the non-vaccinated children that never caught pertussis were the ones that gave it to the kids that were fully compliant on their vaccine schedule, Dad. It doesn't get any more lunatic than this when it comes to the full-blown propaganda and rhetoric to push mandatory vaccines. Now they're talking about in California, as you already know, they have the medical exemptions for vaccinations. They're now discussing to put a squash on those even further and try to say it doesn't matter if you have a medical exemption. We need to have full-blown California mandated vaccines now because the unimmunized kids, the kids that did not receive their immunization for pertussis, are responsible for giving pertussis to the kids that were vaccinated, Dad. Golly.
You know what's so funny, Austin? As you know, none of my children, including yourself, were vaccinated. You got a tetanus shot one time. We kind of fell into a trap sending you to camp, and the church pitched a fit, and you got a tetanus shot that didn't have anything else with it. Back then, you could get that. You got sick as a dog from it. We said, that's it. So you had one shot. The rest of the kids have had no shots. And I remember I had to go to the county seat. We had to get an immunization. Basically, it was an immunization waiver form for religious exemptions. I remember every time I'd go over there, and the last three kids were pretty close together. They were 2 years apart. They would remember me. I went in for the first one, and that was for Harrison, and they were like, oh, my goodness. I remember they gave me like a stack of 100 or 200 copies of stuff about how bad it was not vaccinating your children. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And as soon as they got done with it, I took the 200 pages, and I got my form, and I threw it in the garbage right in front of them. And they go, I can't believe you threw that in the garbage. I'm like, I can't believe you gave it to me. I told you I'm going to read it. And so then the next year, 2 years later, I come back in, and Alexis has to get her form, start, you know, All Saints Academy. And she gets her form, and they give me the 200 things again. And I take it right there, and I throw it in the garbage again. And they go, I can't believe you. Same people. Now they remember me. Third year, 2 years later, I come back in with Savannah. She's going to start All Saints. And all of a sudden, they say, hey, Don't give him the stuff. He's going to throw it in the garbage right in front of you. He's just going to throw it in the garbage in front of you. And they look at him and say, well, do you realize, Dr. Brewer, do you realize that if we have a vaccine, if we have a measles outbreak or we have a mumps outbreak in the school, that your children will not be allowed to attend school? And I go, yeah. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why would you have a measles or mumps outbreak in the school if everybody's vaccinated? and they said, well, your kids not be quarantined at home. I said, why? I'd really like to have them get the measles or the mumps to get a lifetime immunity from it. I said, I had the measles, I had the mumps, I had the chicken pox. It didn't hurt anybody. It didn't hurt me. I'll never catch it again. These people have these vaccinations. It only lasts for 10 years and it goes away and they can catch it and then they get all kinds of health problems from it and give it to other people. I said, that's the truth. You know, it's like the whole, like this polio vaccine, that live polio virus that sheds itself in the gut for years, for another decade after you take it, which can actually transmit and cause this acute phlocytosis, they call it now, where basically it's polio by another name. All these children around the country that are getting this, you know, but now they don't want to talk about that in the media anymore. That's directly from the vaccinated children. You think, wow, that's because they're using live viruses. And so this is some crazy stuff, Austin. Again, it's about eugenics. And I mentioned this last week. I'm going to say it again. When you get a group of scientists that have been educated in a situation in which they've been told that this is all true, and they're given faulty double-blind clinical research studies to prove it, they believe the lie. They really are sincere. They really do believe the lie. They really do believe you really need this stuff, and they're not willing to compromise on it because to them, to compromise would be to compromise everything they were taught incorrectly. They have to have a paradigm shift. And usually a lot of the scientists, sadly to say, they have a paradigm shift when they have a perfectly healthy 18-month-old baby or grandbaby that's taken to the doctor, excuse me, given an MMR shot, and 3 days later, child's autistic. And all of a sudden they go, whoa, and if that wasn't enough, you know, a couple of years later, they have another grandbaby or another child, and they take it then, and another, boom, another one's autistic. And you're like, what the heck? Seen it happen repeatedly. All the kids end up getting, you know, autism. And why? Because they're all having the same genetic marker, which doesn't allow them to process these vaccines very well. And so they always have learned. This is one of the eugenics protocols. Because let me think, 1 in 40 kids now with autism in the U.S., if it goes down to 1 in 2, like Stephanie Seneff, MIT researcher, says it's going to, then everybody's going to be scared to death to have children. Why would you want a child with a 50% chance of having your offspring with autism? Why would you want to take a chance of that? And as long as the government keeps its head stuck in the sand and doesn't admit the responsibility of the vaccines and glyphosate and the causing of these. I wrote a book on this, guys. It's called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities in Children. It's available for $5, $10, $15 used on Amazon. We don't print it anymore because it was a hardback copy. And it was a good seller. I think it sold 100,000 or so copies, but it didn't break records like a lot of the other books did we have, and so we didn't reprint it. But you can get it online if you want to read it. It's dated. It's about 20 years old, but it still has a lot of good information. I actually traced the smoking guns to a lot of different things back to these different chemicals that are being put into these children. So it's hard to argue with me about this stuff if I pull the facts out, because I wrote a book on it, literally. But anyhow, let me go back to what I was talking about earlier, what happens with Christianity. Here's the Daily Mail today. This was just sent to me. Unbelievably offensive Home Office letter quotes bloodthirsty Bible verses to prove Christianity is not a religion of peace, as it rejects asylum bid by an Iranian convert who wanted to stay in Britain. But Britain is saying you cannot stay in Britain because the Christianity is not a religion of peace. It's a religion of basically bloodthirsty and murdering and killing and maiming people. Now, it's just hard to believe that now they're saying that Christianity is a religion of war. And the reason they're doing this, Austin, is because, you know, we have said for years now that the Muslim religion is not a religion of peace. And now they're coming back saying Christianity is not a religion of peace. And, of course, they start quoting both verses out of Leviticus chapter 26, which is Old Testament. They start going into detail in Exodus chapter 34. And then they run into Revelation. Okay? And the crazy thing about it is there ain't nothing positive about Revelation as far as what's fixing to happen on the world. But that's not because God is doing it. It's not because Christians are causing it. It's because of the reign of Lucifer, the Messiah, to be basically anointed in the third temple, the son of perdition who takes control. So God's telling us what's going to happen. Now, in the Old Testament, when God's going in and telling the Israelites, the Jewish people, well, they were the Israelites, the Hebrews, to go in and kill all these different races and all these different countries, it's because they had been contaminated with Nephilim DNA. they basically had an inbred with fallen angels and other demonic entities or whatever goes bump in the night, however you want to deal with that yourself in your own mind. And they weren't pure DNA. And God did not want them mixing with the Israelite and causing the fall. And they also did not want them getting involved with their Canaanite mystery religions, which they did do. I did a whole show on that. This is Baal, this is Moloch, and this is Asherah. So he wanted those religions wiped out with the sacrificing of the children to these different gods and the drinking of these children's blood. This is what these sickos were into, and God did not want that going on, so he wanted them basically, how should I say this in a nice way, disposed of. I had a friend of mine, I'm sure he's probably gone by now, his name was Dwayne. He would have some serious health issues, but even in his 30s, so now he'd be in his 70s. He's a police officer in Tallahassee. I knew him 40 years ago. Gosh, so long ago. And I remember he asked me one time, I had become a Christian. I'd known him as a heathen, then I became a Christian. And he said to me, he goes, one day, he goes, I can't just justify the Old Testament with the wrath of God coming in and killing everybody. And I didn't really have an answer for him, because that was 40 years ago, and I become a Christian, and I'm like, I don't really understand that either. But until you understand Genesis chapter 6 and what's going on with the fallen angels and the corruption of the human genome, you can't understand any of the stuff that God did as far as the killing of these different races. And until you understand the worship of Moloch and Asherah and Baal and the passing of their children through the fire, look what happened to Solomon. Solomon had his 600 wives, 300 concubines, or whatever it was, 1,000 women and concubines from all these different countries around the world. And these women brought all these pagan worship practices into Solomon. And Solomon, basically, supposedly the smartest man in the world, got all caught up in this stuff, got caught up in this Baal worship, Moloch worship, Asherah worship, and basically went sideways, you know, hardcore heathen. Wrote all kinds of weird stuff like Solomon's Book of the Dead, all kinds of crazy stuff, all these satanic spells and weirdo stuff that he did. But finally, when he got old, he finally thought, you know, this is ridiculous, because I'm sure by that time he'd already had taken his own version of the Ashawashka and all the other stuff that's basically out there to go into these different dream states or worlds. And he probably realized that all hell was fixing to, you know, descend upon him for what he had done. And he turned around and he said in the last few verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, I now realize that the most important thing that we can do, the sole duty of man, is to worship God and obey his commandments. Now we're talking about Yahweh now, not some demonic god. See, but he had to go through all of that weird experimentation in order to figure that out. We don't have to do that. We can read what he said about it and realize that, hey, don't want to go there, don't need to do that. I told you a few weeks ago, one of my friends went on one of these little trips down in Costa Rica, says he wishes he had never done it, didn't learn anything from it, and all it does is opens up pathways back to you, like seances and Ouija boards and all the other things of the satanic world that we live in, that we have to deal with on a regular basis. Real quick, I want to talk about dispelling the myth that cholesterol is bad. We need to understand something. I mean, I just had a friend of mine contact me this morning. She has a problem with elevated blood pressure, and she's got allergies, all sort of kind of stuff. And I said, it's really easy to get your blood pressure down. You know, you can exercise, you can lose weight, you can use a mini trampoline, you can take HGH stimulate, that helps. You can take magnesium brain food, that helps. There's all kinds of things we talk about on the website. But we need to realize also that a lot of people are always trying to get their cholesterol down. What they don't understand is that cholesterol helps to produce cell membranes. They're made out of fat. Cholesterol is a precursor to manufacturing hormones, especially testosterone and cortisone. Healthy cholesterol is the first step in converting the sun's UVB rays to the vitamin D. Cholesterol is the first step to help formulate bile acids for digesting fat. It is needed for the proper function of serotonin receptors in the brain. So if you don't get enough fat and enough cholesterol, you start getting depressed, can't remember anything. It is involved with supplying coenzyme Q10 to the body, which is a vital energy source in the muscle tissue, especially the heart muscle, which keeps the heart muscle strong. It helps to form memories in the brain so your brain doesn't go to mush. It is important to maintaining the health of the intestinal wall. Your intestines can't handle it without enough cholesterol in your diet and enough fat in your diet. It helps to build and maintain the myelin sheath, which is a protective fatty tissue wrapping the nerve fibers, which, when damaged, can cause multiple sclerosis and other neurological diseases. And it is vital towards building brain cells in the brain, which contain 25% of your total body cholesterol. I mean, lower the cholesterol. I'm going to say this. I have to say this all the time, and I hate to do this to you guys who listen to the show. As your cholesterol drops lower than 200, all disease rates go up, particularly cancer. Your testosterone falls to the floor. Your healthy hormones fall through the floor. Your brain and mental acuity falls through the floor. I keep my cholesterol over 200. I have to work at it. And I eat 24 eggs a week. I make like 2 dozen eggs a week and eat them all. I take 3 and 4 eggs, sometimes twice a day, just for egg salad. I don't know what to say. I use avocado mayonnaise in order to, you know, mix it all up with a little bit of honey mustard from Amy's, which is really good with no sugar in it. And it's unbelievable. When they put a little chipotle seasoning on it, it's like the best egg salad you've ever tasted. It's a great snack, great protein snack, and it's incredibly healthy for the brain. If you've got a person with Alzheimer's disease, you get them on vitamin E, you get them on coconut oil, and you get them on eggs. And kind of senile dementia. Do everything you can to try to rebuild a protective fat back in the brain and try to correct some of those conditions. I'm not saying that's a cure for Alzheimer's disease. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is I would do that if I had a person that I knew that I loved that had Alzheimer's disease. But in addition to that, I'd avoid aluminum like the plague. I wouldn't get aluminum in my shots. That's a fact. I don't do shots whatsoever. And I sure in the world, you know, wouldn't be cooking aluminum frying, aluminum pots and pans, using aluminum foil, aluminum chlorhydrate, antiperspirant deodorant, which has also been linked to breast cancer. I wouldn't be doing any of that stuff. You know what I'd be doing? Eating clean. Get my wife's Eat Clean and Drink, Eat Clean and Be Healthy book. It's what you have to do. You say, well, it's a hassle to eat clean. Well, wait, let me stop for a second. It's a hassle to eat right. Okay, it's a hassle to be healthy. Okay. You're telling me that heart disease, diabetes, and cancer is not a hassle? Sharon's got a friend from high school. Talked to you about her before. Had jaw cancer. Okay, had jaw cancer. They told her it was routine surgery, easy to fix, nothing to it. They're going to take part of her jawbone out, replace it with part of her femur, put in some titanium teeth, put it all back together again. She'll be as good as new, good to go, couple weeks, back to work, blah, blah, blah. Perfect, super easy to do. That was almost 2 years ago. They took it out. They put the new piece in, put the titanium teeth in. They cut the nerve going to her tongue. Now her tongue feels like it's on fire all the time. Can't speak properly. Part of her face is paralyzed from the cutting of the nerves, the removing of the jawbone. Then they decided in their infinite wisdom to put the new jawbone into her mouth and to radiate it, which killed the surrounding tissue, which burned a giant hole in the side of her cheek now that she's having to have a patch. Now almost everything she's done has failed, and they're going to have to redo everything again, and she's close to death. And I prayed this morning for her. Talked about – I asked God. I asked for mercy. I said, just God, just give her mercy. How do you pray for that? How do you pray for that? How when you speak to somebody, and I sent her to numerous physicians, and I told her, talk to these guys about natural protocols that don't involve cutting out your bone, etc. Just talk to them about natural treatment protocols. Sent her to numerous physicians, several places in the country to go to, and she chose not to listen to me and not to listen to these physicians that she went to. She didn't take my advice. And I said, okay, well, whatever. It's up to you. They're telling you this is going to be very easy, very simple procedure. They'll take care of it. A couple weeks, we'll be back to work again. I said, ask them to give you three or four people that have done the same procedure. Three or four, that's all, who've had tremendous results like they're talking about, and they're back to work and functional. And, of course, they refused to provide her any of it. And then I had one of my friends who listens to the show. They had one of their friends who basically did this, and just it was awful. Their head's full the size of a football, and they end up dying from it. Guys, think about it for a second. Whenever you go in and do invasive surgery, or you do chemotherapy, or you do radiation, are you really healing the body, or are you poisoning cells that you're trying to kill and killing everything else with it? I mean, I really believe personally that within 100 years, probably within 50 years, chemotherapy and radiation will go the way of the dinosaurs. And people are going to say, I cannot believe we used to do that. I can't believe we used to do this. But remember, as long as the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry, which is owned by the international banking cartels, refuse to allow the true nature of true healing and true protocols to be followed, which involved, you know, changing your diet, increasing your supplement load, increasing your nutrient density, and all the things that you need to do to heal your body, as long as they suppress that information, they're going to continue to poison and cut and burn. It's what they do because they get paid doing it, and they make hundreds of billions, close to $1 trillion a year in the petrochemical medical complex that we have. Think through what you do. Get multiple opinions and realize it's like allergies. Shoot. Take turmeric. If you got really bad allergies this time of the year, go to our website, grab our turmeric, take 10 of them three times a day. Well, that's a lot of turmeric. I didn't say it wasn't a lot of turmeric. You just choke down 10 three times a day. It's better than taking a bunch of antihistamines all day and falling asleep behind the wheel. Take 10 turmeric three times a day, and you'd be amazed at what it does as far as inflammation and allergies. I've got a friend up in North Carolina. His wife was so crippled she couldn't even walk with rheumatoid arthritis. She's just a wreck. We put her on a turmeric, put her on a full protocol as far as healthy supplements. Now, 2 years later, she's off the turmeric. Her rheumatoid arthritis is completely gone, and she's off all medication. You think, wow, how's that possible? Here's how it's possible. If your body has a specific nutrient deficiency that's causing a specific disease and it's causing certain symptoms, do you really think that you're going to ameliorate or cure this thing by simply taking a drug which is designed to cover up the symptoms and not provide the nutrients that your body needs? Think through that for what I just said. You're masking the symptoms. It's like having a headache and taking aspirin. I told you yesterday, aspirin causes wet macular degeneration. It causes all types of permeability and intestinal problems and intestinal bleeding. Doctors are saying don't even take it, even baby aspirin anymore every day. It's not something you could take it every once in a while. You could take something like that, but not on a regular basis, not on a daily basis, not even on a weekly basis. Drugs and medication are to be used as tools, not as crutches. You get on allergy medications for years on end. You get on high blood pressure medication for years on end. Why don't we try to figure out what's causing the high blood pressure? Maybe you need to drop 20 pounds. Maybe you need to grab a little mini trampoline and start jogging on it 10 minutes twice a day. Maybe you need to basically, you know, cut out all the junk food and all the sugar. Maybe you need to do all that stuff first. How about that first before we put ourselves on heavy medications? You know, my blood pressure stays around 115 or so over 65. My heart rate's around 65 beats a minute, unless I'm all pumped up on purple sticks, which I am this morning, by the way. And so what happens is you realize that really very, very quickly that you can keep really healthy body chemistry by eating right, eating clean, and avoiding all of these toxins in your foods. Just thought I'd mention that this morning, but I want to give you some information on cholesterol. Austin, what do you think of what's your next story, bud?
That's great information. There's no doubt about it. The cholesterol lie that we've been told, we even have an article on our website from a few years ago in detail on when the AMA lowered the level of acceptable cholesterol, so to speak, and took it under 200. And these guidelines that they continually come out with, they're for one sole purpose, and that is to increase pharmaceutical sales in the United States. That's it. There's no legitimate purpose when you look at the facts, when you look at the research, when you look at the side effects of these cholesterol-lowering drugs to be used on people that are already at 180, 190 total cholesterol, and they need to be on these medications, allegedly by the doctor and the AMA, because their cholesterol needs to be lower. They know when it goes lower, there's more health problems. They know when they prescribe them, it increases sales, and in my opinion, that is the overall reasoning. We kind of touched base on, I want to bring this up real quick, Dan, because I saw this a minute ago. I kind of missed this morning. I heard about it this morning, but I did not know it was actual facts. I just had to go like four different articles and look at this right now down in New Zealand. New Zealand, officially, the New Zealand Attorney General and the Prime Minister announced last night the government has now fully banned any military-style semi-automatic rifle.
Oh, God, here we go again.
Period. It is now a three-year prison sentence with a felony, with a $4,000 fine if you are caught. And this ban is immediate. It has completely gone into effect today. They said any weapon that is capable of accepting a detachable magazine of larger than five rounds of ammo is now classified as an illegal weapon. Only semi-automatic 22 caliber rimfire rifles that can hold less than 10 rounds are acceptable in the state, in the country of New Zealand. Any shotgun that accepts more than five cartridges is now illegal. They said it will be a category license holder to possess an MSSA, which is essentially going to be like a class 3 weapon, from what I'm reading here. You're going to have to essentially pay all these fees, all these taxes on it. You're going to have to go through an approval rating, all this stuff in order to keep one of these firearms now, which essentially, from what I'm looking at here and a lot of the numbers they're saying on it and the approval, they're not going to approve this unless you literally are going to be using it. They said you have to have a legitimate purpose to own these firearms, even if you were approved for an A category license holder to possess one of these firearms. You have to have a legitimate purpose to own one. If you are caught with one of these guns without the license, it will be 3 years in prison and a $4,000 fine. So New Zealand, by the way, if you guys don't know this, up until yesterday, you could own a firearm at 16 in New Zealand, and you could own a semi-automatic rifle in New Zealand at 18. They said that essentially all you had to do was register those semi-automatic weapons, and they had to be registered with the country of New Zealand, and you could own one at the age of 18, no restriction on it. AR-15, 30, 40-round magazine, completely okay. Here's the caveat now, though. Now that they have just passed this sweeping ban from the Prime Minister, everybody that had their firearms registered previous to this, now the country knows every single firearm in the country that is owned and who are they owned by, and now they have already going in, apparently as of this morning, they've already had 36 firearms turned in, which isn't a lot. We're going to see how far they're willing to take this if they're going to start doing door-to-door gun confiscations, but it is official now. New Zealand has done exactly what Australia did 20 years ago and completely and totally knee-jerked, banned essentially every legitimate defense rifle, defense weapon in the country now and made it a felony to possess. And now the population is going to have to deal with the backlash of not having the ability to lawfully and legally protect themselves or their loved ones with their weapon of choice. This is crazy, and this is exactly why I have said over and over and over and over and over again, do not register your firearms. There is no lawful reason for you to ever have to register a firearm in the United States of America, anytime, in every country, under every circumstance. Any gun registration has always, always, always led to gun confiscation shortly thereafter, and now we have seen that happen exactly the way I just depicted it in New Zealand, where now you cannot own any semi-automatic weapon that has the ability to hold more than 5 rounds of ammunition, guys. This is the tyranny that we have seen from the globalists country by country, and they have now effectively disarmed the great country of New Zealand, which was actually, if you guys know this, was a huge safe haven for a lot of preppers and a lot of people that have gone there because the country is so pure. That's actually where we get our whey protein, because they have no nuclear reactors there. They don't allow their bovine to be used with any type of hormones, antibiotics, period. They have some of the cleanest food, some of the cleanest animals, one of the cleanest countries you can go to, and they have now completely and totally disarmed the population because of this alleged attack last week, Dad. How sad is this?
Well, nothing surprises me anymore, but I've got to change one thing you did say. If your state requires that you basically register your weapons, I don't think you should do that, but I think you should move out of the state with your weapons. That's what but I'm not telling you to break the law. If you have a state law that says you have to register weapons, the Ted Nelson Brewer Show, we're not endorsing that policy, but I am endorsing that you move out. Same thing as if you don't have a vaccine exemption for your child any longer, and they're going to be forcing you by gunpoint, by taking your child and strapping it to a gurney and holding you back and having you handcuffed or basically gagged and tied, gagged and bagged, so they do this to your kids, move out of that state. That's what I say. Just avoid all of that. And if the country decides to pass federal law, federal legislation, that everybody has to be vaccinated up to the age of 65, it's time for me to hit the road, Jack. Don't look back. I'm out of here. I'm out of the country. So be careful with the laws of your state. Be careful with the laws of your municipalities and your compounds and your countries. And be very, very careful. I mean, if you have a problem with this, it's best for you just to leave that area and just avoid any breaking of the law, because what you don't want to do is get a trumped up weapons charge on you and go to prison for 10 or 15 years to silence you. That's how I look at it too. Or have them storm your house in the middle of the night, because I can pretty much guarantee you, I can pretty much promise you, if you start breaking certain weapon violations, you will have a meeting with the ATF pounding on your front door. Just let me tell you guys, it happens, and it happens a lot. Oh, by the way, Leon County in Tallahassee, Florida, Florida State University, you got to give them credit where credit's due. They have been ranked number one again in Florida for new cases of chlamydia. Now, there you go. Chlamydia is a venereal disease. It's from loose guys and loose co-eds having sex without being basically protected. It's caused by the bacterium Chlamydia trachomatis. Most people are infected, have no symptoms. When symptoms do develop, it take a few weeks to fall, allowing the infection to occur. It causes all kinds of vaginal discharge, burning, and discharge from guys. And it can also spread into the upper areas of the general tract of women, causing pelvic inflammatory disease, which can cause future infertility or ectopic pregnancy. Guys, it's another major thing that they're doing in the school system. This is Florida State University, where I went to school. And Harris is up there right now, and he told me, he says, Dad, you cannot believe how many girls up here. He lives in an apartment complex. I'm going to just tell you a little story. He lives in an apartment complex in Tallahassee. And the other day, and hey, Austin, you don't know this. You're going to get a kick out of this. The other day, listen to this. This is a true story. This is from Harrison, graduate school, Florida State. He's in his apartment complex, nice apartment complex. He's in the elevator. And some guys get in there. They've been drinking in the elevator with him. He's going up to his room, and they said to him, they say, you live here? He goes, yeah. He goes, what room are the whores in? He goes, whores? Yeah, the whores. What room are the whores in? And he goes, I don't know. I don't really go to whores. And he goes, they said, well, you got to help us find out. I'm not interested in helping you find out where the whores are. And, you know, a few hours later, he goes back down, and here they are coming back out of the elevator again. They're all happy, and they said, oh, yeah, we found the whores. Okay, they found the whores. I mean, are we talking whores? That means that the girls that are loose, that are having sex with multiple guys, or the girls that are up there charging money to pay their college tuition and pay their rent and stuff to be whores. I mean, yeah, you say, why are you talking about this stuff, Ted? I'm telling you what the real colleges are all about with the liberal educational system. City Journal came out with an article today by Heather Mac McDonald. She goes, the celebrity college admissions cheating scandal has two clear takeaways. An elite college degree has taken on a wildly inflated importance in the American society, as the sports medical industrial complex enjoys wildly inflated power within universities like Seminole football. 33 moguls and TV stars allegedly paid admissions fixer William Singer a total of $25 million to get their kids into private schools. Okay, now, here's the problem. They have gotten into these schools, but the schools don't really know why they're there because they couldn't pass the admission standards in many cases. And then she goes on to say, none of this could have happened if higher education had not itself become a corrupt institution, listen to this, featuring low classroom demands, no core knowledge acquisition, low grading standards, fashionable society destroying left-wing activism, luxury hotel amenities, endless partying, and huge expenses. Students often learn nothing during their college years, as the University of California Irvine Education School Dean Arum writes in the Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses. They may even lose that pittance of knowledge with which they enter the college. See, guys, it's so important that you understand that these kids are going to school, need to pick a good school. I'm going to give you some advice again. Harrison and Austin both did dual enrollment. They started high school and college at the same time. It's just easier that way. Number one, you get them away from the partying in high school and the kids who basically have no academic reasoning or ability or want to ever go to college. And you basically get them into a group of kids that are hopefully more academically oriented. Number two, if you take a child who's 15, 16 years old and think pass their college entrance exam and start dual enrollment and do 10th, 11th, and 12th grade in college, in high school, what ends up happening is it gives you the opportunity to maintain better control over them rather than sending them to a partying school when they're 18 years of age, go get drunk or get raped or go get whatever. I've seen it all, guys. I've seen a girl start the first year of college at 18, honor student, go up to Florida State and get gang raped by an entire fraternity. Seen it, know of it, absolute fact, can prove it. I've seen it. You know, and you know, I've seen guys go up there and get completely drunk and flunk out. I was just telling Sharon this morning, when my high school class, when we graduated, I was accepted at every major university in the state because of my scores and test grades. I chose to go to a local community college. Why? Number one, it's a whole lot cheaper. And number two, it wasn't a big party school. And I wanted to make sure that I had the ability to get through the first 2 years, you know, in a reasonable fashion and not have all these crazy distractions everywhere. And I had about eight of my friends go to Florida State as freshmen. They weren't really friends. I knew them. Most of them were dopers from high school. And every single one of them flunked out, all of them. I mean, just across the board, they all flunked out. The only person that I know who went to Florida State as a freshman and did well was my sister, who was, you know, collegiate or high school valedictorian. She went up there and did well, but she had her own set of challenges while she was there. So, I mean, it's a big transition to go from a small high school into a major university, or even from a small community college or, you know, state college to a major university. But, guys, as long as the school is fully accredited academically and the degrees that you receive will transfer anywhere, go there if it's a smaller school. Go to a Christian school. You know, my 18-year-old daughter now is going to Southeastern University in Lakeland. Also went to Southeastern University. Now, it's got non-Christians on campus. It's a Christian school. But, you know, you're going to get non-Christians who are supposed to be Christians anyhow, especially when they bring athletic programs into the school that basically they want to bring star athletes in, who all they have to do is write a statement of faith that somebody else writes for them in many cases and gets them into these universities and school systems. I'm not just picking on Southeastern. I'm talking about any school can do that. The thing is this. Make sure you tell your kids. Think about what you're doing. If you're going to have sex, oh, gosh, then you shouldn't be telling them that, but you got to tell them. Don't do it unprotected. You don't want chlamydia. You don't want syphilis. You don't want gonorrhea. You don't want AIDS. You don't want HPV. You don't want any of this stuff. All you want to do is be careful and just preferably just wait and hold off and not have sex until you're married But in some cases, you tell that to a child, it's like talking to the wall, and they're not going to listen to you. But make sure they understand that if they have unprotected sex, number one, they can get pregnant 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age, very easy. And number two, they can get venereal diseases and Schultz's diseases, social diseases, especially with girls, that can prevent them from ever having children for the rest of their life. I know girls who basically were sexually active and never been able to have children because they ended up with pelvic infections. Guys, it's a major, major, major problem. And ladies, you listen to me for a second too now. If you're in school and you're dating a whore, a guy who wants to have sex with everything that walks and talks and moves and breathes, chances are he's carrying some type of disease. Just to let you know that in advance. And chances are if you keep having sex with him and he keeps having sex with all these different people, you're going to have the same diseases he has. And it's going to cost you later down in life. The same thing, guys. If you're going to have sex with a girl who slept with everybody on the block, think through this for a second. Is that really what you want to do? Is it really that important? Come on, guys. Think through it. Use your brain that God gave you. Reason through the testosterone spike as a teenager and make yourself realize that just maybe if I'm going to do this, I shouldn't, number one. And maybe if I'm going to do this, I need to use protection, number two. Now, guys, that's as direct as I can get. I can't be any more clear with children, young adults, teens, anybody, divorcees, anybody with what I just said. First thing out of your mouth, you want to go out with somebody, have you been tested for STDs? You say, well, that's a conversation buzzkill. Well, would you rather know that now? Would you rather go on a date with them and kiss them and then end up with herpes? I mean, think about that for a second, okay? You don't need to be kissing everybody that you go out with, and you sure don't need to be having sex with everybody you go out with. Save it for your husband. Find a guy who's good, who's a Christian, who's macho, who can think, who's smart. Okay, I keep adding lists to this. This is going to get real short for everybody. Find a good guy. There you go. He's a Christian. I'll just leave it at that. And same thing with guys. And just remember, guys, it's important that you know the people before you start dating them. And if you date a friend, it makes it a lot simpler and a lot easier for you. Why? Because at least you like the person to start with. And you know something about their personality and their characteristics and what they've been doing in their spare time. Austin, what are you thinking? What's your next story, bud? Okay. Austin, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry about that. I jumped on mute. I was ruffling some papers around. I didn't want to have any background noise. But, no, that was excellent information. I mean, there's no question about it. The issue is a lot of times when you're young, you're 17, 18, 19 years old, you know, you don't really think about the long-term effects that you're going to have, the consequences that are going to happen when you get older in life. And you see this a lot when kids get pregnant when they're in high school, 16, 17 years old, and not saying that, you know, they can't make good come of it, and it's not the baby's fault. You know, they can do good things, and they can go on and take care of the baby. You just grow up really, really quick when that happens. But, you know, a lot of times that's not really the best for your life. And so you have to do the best to communicate with your kids. And Dad did that with me when I was younger because, you know, a lot of times parents, and this happens, I've seen this a lot because I grew up in church and I saw this with other families and stuff, is a lot of times in the Christian community, families and parents don't want to address certain topics because it's not a, put it this way, a Christian topic. We don't talk about that. We'll just pretend it doesn't exist. And all of a sudden, you end up with these children that are incredibly naive because they grow up in this bubble. They grow up in this big bubble that is supposed to be perfect, nirvana, everything's happy, happy, nobody does anything bad, nobody has sex before they're married, everything's just a perfect world. And in essence, at that age point in time, it really is. Everything's a pretty controlled environment, and the family's, you know, a good Christian family. The issue is, that's not the world we live in. And at a point in time, those kids are going to get out in the real world, and if they have not experienced it, they at least need to have the knowledge behind it to understand, hey, these are things you're going to run into. These are obstacles you're going to hit. These are roads you're going to have to choose between, and which roads you go down are going to depend on different consequences that occur with each, and you need to understand the consequences that go down with each of these roads that you choose. And those are discussions and topics that need to be brought up before the kids 18, 19 years old, off in college. Just my opinion. That's my take on it. Also, too, in other news, I found this interesting. As we're seeing the metals market going all over the place right now, now a latest release by USGS, silver production in the U.S. is now the lowest in more than 70 years. They said you got to go all the way back to the year after World War II to see the U.S. silver production in the United States less than it was in 2018. Now, this is crazy. They said the U.S. silver production has been declining for the last 25 years. They said it declined more than 100 metric tons in the United States last year, or 10%, mainly due to the ongoing closure of the Lucky Friday mine in Idaho. Just going back to the year 2000, there were 63.7 million ounces of silver mined in the United States in the year 2000. As of 2018, the lowest production in almost 70 years, 29 million ounces in 2017, has dropped over half from just the year 2000. So this is something interesting to see, because as we know, with the electronic generation and the phones and the appliances and the solar panels and electric vehicles, silver, platinum, palladium, as you guys have probably already seen with palladium, all these industrial metals are highly sought after in this market. And when you start seeing production drop off precipitously globally and a lot in the United States, it's a good idea to start realizing that it may possibly be a good investment right now, considering it's only $15 an ounce, right above mining value. That's just my opinion. I thought that would bring that up today. But just as we see the markets churn, make sure you're making good, solid, long-term investments if you're doing something right now. Yeah, I know I've talked to a lot of people. They're, oh, you make a lot of money in this right now. This is going up. This stock's going up. That is cool. If that's what you want to play and you're okay with playing roulette, all for you. That's your money. I'm not going to tell you what to do with it. But my opinion, use wisdom. That's all I'm going to say.
Real quick, almost out of time, is your prescription drug causing you depression? There are a whole bunch of prescription drugs that can actually cause you to become depressed, including beta blockers, antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, opioids, corticosteroids, over-the-counter proton pump inhibitors, there you go, allergy and asthma medications, anticonvulsants, and hormones, estradiol. There are different hormones that can also make you depressed. Guys, it's so important that you realize what you're taking and how you're taking it. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening today. Hope you don't mind me having a little fireside chat with your kids here this morning. I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being our friends. Had the opportunity and the privilege to pray for you again today. God bless you guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Close it up, Oz.
Absolutely. If you guys saw, the product of the week that won by a landslide was the methylated B complex, incredibly popular formula that we have on sale now for 15% off. The B complex is incredibly good for the immune system, healthy nervous system, cardiovascular system, really helps out with energy. That is a staple for me every morning and afternoon. I know Doug and Joe Hagman love that product too. So the B complex on sale right now is product of the week. Be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com. You guys have an absolutely amazing, safe, productive rest of your day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow, as always.